Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, bowl season continues.
I don't know
what to think about that. Bowl season, the way I remember it, is completely different from what it used to be. I mean, I used to be able to get up on New Year's Day, go watch the Fiesta Bowl, then segue into the Rose Bowl. Of course, the Citrus Bowl was going on the same time as the Fiesta Bowl, so I could flip back and forth. That was before we had 17 different ways we could watch a game or listen to a game. So then I had, you know, then I got ready for the Rose Bowl, and then it was the Orange Bowl competing with the Sugar Bowl, which I never really liked, but the Orange Bowl had that famous halftime show that was the only time my family got together to watch football. My dad and I watched football a lot, but my mother never really. She was like, when is that bowl game that has the really cool halftime? She didn't know that much, but now it's all kind of messed up. I mean, I have no idea what bowl games are going on what days. And the names of them have all changed. You know, as I like to say, the insert sponsor name here, bowl. And there's so stinking many of them. I mean, there are so many bowl games. Have we, and I know, we talked about this for years with Steve. I know the ratings are there. I know that's the reason why we have so many bowl games, because people will watch them. I mean, people are watching UCF and Duke right now on ESPN. I'm not, but I mean, somebody is, and there's a lot of people that are and are watching these, what we used to call minor bowl games, that are now taking spotlights for the last two, almost 3 weeks of December now. I mean, I can remember when you barely knew the Holiday Bowl even existed unless Penn State was in it, and then you were excited about the Holiday Bowl. That happened probably, I want to say, early 90s. I remembered Penn State going to the Holiday Bowl, and I'm like, ooh, the Holiday Bowl. I didn't even know they had one of those. That's cool. And I listened to the game. I was working, but I listened to the game the entire time. And now we have all these players that are opting out of these bowl games to go to the NFL draft. And I understand. I understand it completely. They don't want to get injured. I get that. They don't want to hurt their draft status. I understand that. That's the, you know, in their mind, and right or wrong, in their mind, it's the rest of their life. It's their future. That's what they plan to do. That's their career. So I get that. I do. It just kind of is a little sad that all these guys are opting out of these bowl games now, but you don't really see a whole lot of them opting out of those big two, three bowl games at the end of the year, do you? I don't know. I am not a fan of change, and things have changed. I don't like it at all. I liked it when you could get up on New Year's Day and knew you had a whole day of watching bowl games. And you still kind of have that, even though, you know, this year it's moved to January 2nd. No. I'm okay with that, but...
Oh, no. Oh, golly. This one, I thought it was free.
No, just when you... It's a holiday special.
Oh!
It's my gift to you, Stephen.
How are you, my good friend?
I'm doing well. As always, very jealous of you making the trip to Pasadena. I know you're not going to have time to enjoy it, but I would love to be there with you, my friend.
You know, it's interesting. By the way, before I get going with anything else, at the end of the game against Mount Carmel was phenomenal.
Oh, thank you so much. That was a great game to call. I got lucky. We had a great game to call. Dave and I got lucky.
Terrific call, though. You made it. It was really, really good. You know, it does. I don't want this to come off as cold.
Oh, I know what's coming.
No. But so this is the third time there.
Right.
You know, for me, it's the fourth time there. Okay, fourth time there. I should amend that. It's the fourth time I've been to the Rose Bowl. So I've done, for example, I've been to the Rose Parade. Like, I'm talking like sit in the grandstand, watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm glad I've done it.
Yeah.
It was terrific. It was a lot of fun, the whole deal. So now that I've done it, I don't feel a need to go to it again because I've done that already. For anybody who hasn't gone, it's well worth your time and have a great time. As for everything else, it's a business trip in a lot of ways that is in a beautiful location with a great hotel, great stuff going on. So I get there Friday. I'll go right to practice. Then after that, then Jack and I will figure out some dinner or something like that. Then on the 31st, it's practice. And then there's that show from 9:05 to 10 Eastern, which is 6:05 to 7 Pacific, just so everybody knows. All right, so I got that. Then Sunday is practice, what they refer to as Fast Friday, and the pep rally. And then Learfield does have a dinner for us that we're going to that night. And then Monday's the game.
In other words, there's no time to pack the clubs.
No. Although there's a golf course right in back.
I know there is.
There is. And then Tuesday is I have to fly to Detroit. And I've got the game in Ann Arbor on Wednesday night. Then I get home late Wednesday night. Well, so that's how it goes. And believe me, this is no complaints on my part. I'm saying this is that's why this is a business trip. It's all about them winning the game. Okay, it's all about them winning it.
Well, as I said at the beginning, we were talking about the bowls, and as I was saying at the beginning of the show, I really, you know me, you've known me for over a decade. I am not a big fan of change. Okay, I do not I like the status quo. I like the routine. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And my New Year's Day got blown up with the college football championship. And then they added all these other minor bowl games that I didn't even know existed in the first place.
Yeah.
And now you know, everybody seems to be playing in a bowl game. And as I said earlier, I understand the reasoning that players decide not to play in a bowl game. I do. I get that. You're thinking about your career, you're thinking about your future, and you don't want to gamble. I understand that. But I also think it's kind of funny that if you were in one of those final four and fifth bowl game, or excuse me, final two and third bowl game, you're not opting out of those. No. out of those very often.
Well, that's why I think what you'll see with the playoff moving forward is that you'll see a small margin of opt-outs, if any. And now, for example, let's take Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's opting out of the game. Okay, but he hasn't played all season anyway. For Penn State, people will say, well, Joey Porter opted out. True. Nobody asks, Parker Washington's going to the NFL too. Yeah, but he couldn't play in the game anyway. So it doesn't matter whether, he couldn't play. So this game turns out, and then there's two Utah opt-outs, Clark Phillips and Dalton Kincaid. I'm glad I said that. It reminds me I'm on a show in Salt Lake City tonight at 6.
Yeah, you got to put that in your phone. I already did
a BTM one this morning. So.
See, my question is, Steve, because of all these bowl games now and the way we've kind of made three big games, the highlight games, with the exception of maybe the Rose Bowl, have we diluted the bowl game even in the players' minds?
Yeah. You know what? it's being portrayed that way. So that is certainly something that
but as I said, I don't want anybody to think I don't get it. I get why the players don't.
The people that do play in it, the people that do play in it, it's important for them. So let's take, for example, there are people that have transferred. So that both quarterbacks in last night's game between Wisconsin and Oklahoma State, Sanders for Oklahoma State and Mertz for Wisconsin, both hit the transfer portal. Mertz ended up in Florida. I don't think Sanders has a landing spot yet. That I don't know. Okay. So that's one. So now you're talking about, like, Wolf was a quarterback for Wisconsin, and I can't remember the name of the quarterback for Oklahoma State, but it was a big game for him because he was trying to show Mike Gundy he should be the starter moving forward. So it was a big game for him. So for the people who play in it, it's a big deal. ESPN owns 17 of these bowls, and Kevin, people watch.
See, that's the other thing I said earlier, too. It doesn't seem to be affecting the amount of bowl games and the players that are opting out. And again, I want to clearly make sure I understand why they're opting out. I'm not criticizing them
for doing that.
I don't think I would, but I'm not in that position, so I can't really say that I would wouldn't do that. But
right.
I'm just saying, is it diluting the bowl for the viewer or the listener? And it doesn't seem to be by the numbers.
Yeah, what was the Las Vegas Bowl, right? So the Las Vegas Bowl was December 20th? That's not right.
I don't know. I need a calendar.
No, it was the 17th. It was the 17th. Okay? It was on ABC at 7:30 at night. It was Florida against Oregon State. Okay, so now you have two Power 5 conferences, SEC, Pac-12, head-to-head, right? That won the ratings. They had 2.5 million viewers for the Vegas Bowl. WWE SmackDown on Fox had 2.3 million viewers.
Which usually wins the ratings on whatever network it's on.
Yes, and Fox carried it, so it was on over-the-air Fox. CBS carried Kentucky UCLA basketball. And by the way, drew a very good number of 2 million. All right. And the Lakers and the Celtics drew 1.7 million. So here's the Vegas Bowl. Okay? Not the Rose Bowl, not the college football playoff. Here's the Vegas Bowl winning the ratings at 2.5 million viewers. This is why ESPN owns 17 bowls, Kevin. They own 17 of them because for them it's a slice of gold of programming. And that's what they love about it. Like, this gives them great programming from December 16th all the way up to January 2nd. That's pretty good.
And it's new. It's not rerun programming either.
Right, it's 2.5 weeks of programming. Now, last night, it's been a little easier week for me. Now we've got the basketball game tomorrow, and then of course Friday I'm traveling. So I've been home, family. We had 19 people here in the house over the weekend. 7 grandchildren, children, spouses, the whole thing, right? So I can't even begin to tell you. I spent 48 to 72 hours beaming. Okay, to be honest with you. But now everything's settled down. So what did I do on Tuesday night? Now I watched a lot of football over the weekend. I did. I watched bowl games. I watched a lot of the NFL, Eagles, Steelers, things like that. I do admit that on Tuesday night, instead of a bowl game, I did something I never do. You know me. Even during the pandemic, when people on Netflix were binge-watching programs, for some reason I didn't. Never, whatever reason. Doesn't matter. I just didn't. In part probably because I wasn't smart enough to figure out how to do it. But I binge-watched Jack Ryan Season 3 Tuesday night. Okay. Well, last night, You know what I did last night? I watched bowl games. I watched the Wisconsin-Oklahoma State game and a couple of others because it was fun for me. Dick in Milton, hello, sir. Hola, hey, buenos dias. Great to hear you.
I heard Kevin going on about the bowl game. So how about a new bowl for next year? How about the Portal Bowl?
The Portal Bowl.
I think we've been experiencing that for years.
So maybe players east of the Mississippi against players west of the Mississippi, or get some coaches. There'd be damn good players in that game.
There'd be a lot of good players.
Just a thought. And somebody would sponsor it. I guarantee you that.
Dick, here's the problem.
Go ahead.
Here's the problem you would have with it. There's so many quarterbacks in the portal. Which three on each side do you pick?
You'd have to have one for every series.
Well, yeah, but the Miami Dolphins will be looking at all of them.
Yes, they would be. Yeah.
But anyhow, I thought about that when Kevin was complaining about it. And the other thing that got me, and you mentioned the Wisconsin-Oklahoma State game. Yeah. Oh, that's the middle of the night in the East Coast. I mean, obviously, that's a primetime game in California, but that's the best teams in this any bowl game.
Yeah, you know what? And part of it, I believe right now, Phoenix is on Pacific time, so the game kicked off at 7:15. And, of course, it's scheduled in such a way where it's TV. So it's 10:15 at night, and this has been the Pac-10's problem. I call it the Pac-10 now, but the Pac-12's problem for years. Their games are on so late at night, they don't get the eyeballs. And just like that game last night in Phoenix, which was not a bad game, and I watched, I got to the middle of the third quarter of it, and it wasn't that I lost interest, but my body said to me, it's time to go.
Well, yeah, they've always been opposite Johnny Carson. That was their big problem for years out there.
Yeah.
But anyhow, long story short, you guys have a good New Year's, and it's good hearing you again, Steve.
Yeah, it's
and you
great
too,
to
Kevin,
too, Dick.
On the real radio show again.
It's great to hear from you, Dick. Thanks.
See, the love is pouring out for you today.
Feel the love. Feel the love.
I know it's not important to you. Oh, it's so good to hear you on the other end.
It's great to be with you, brother.
It is great
to be with you.
Now, all the times, like all the little jokes are all just jokes. Everybody knows I think the world of this guy. Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll take a break. Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Bob Nightingale, USA Today on baseball. We've got Reginald Walker on football today. We have Joe and John Crispin today, tomorrow. Penn State basketball, Delaware State. As Dick Girardi would say, Kevin, Steve, yeah, what time is post time? Post time is 1:30. Tip off is at 2:00. And then Friday we'll have our Rose Bowl preview show, okay? All right? It's not bad. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The suit is in the house.
Which means things are not going to go well through the day, but we'll do our best. Wow, am I a little rusty or what?
That's okay. Get you a couple swings in the batting cage, you'll be all right.
I got to quit fouling them over my head. It's kind of like my golf shots.
See, I keep telling you, the more you play, the better you play.
It's true. By the time I get to the 18th hole, I'm playing really well, but then it's another month.
I know. That's what I keep telling you.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you today. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kid, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Key Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department with great technicians to back up the life of the car at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Doug Birdsong, by the way, sent me a text. The outstanding play-by-play voice of Bucknell. It's great hearing you back with the suit, Steve. That Doug has such a sense of humor. No,
it was the second part that you, it was the rest of the text that you left out. The part that is just, why is he back?
That Doug has such a sense of humor. No.
And then followed that up with another text that said, hopefully you have better luck than I have with him on Saturdays.
You guys do a good job. I enjoy the broadcast.
We have a good time. We have a good time.
Really good. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate that. All right, let's... Now, here it is, December 28th. We've gone through an awful cold snap. A little warmer today. So let's talk baseball. Let's bring in Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Bob, great to have you with us. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. My pleasure, Steve.
All right. So it's an interesting time. The winter meetings are coming out. A lot of money was spent. I wasn't surprised by the money because usually after basic agreements are signed, they feel like they have more freedom. Is that logical?
No, that's logical. You know, the one thing, too, is that these teams all got $30 million apiece selling the their technology to Disney. So that's a big thing as well. So I think the I think people were surprised, though, how big it was or how expensive some of these free agents are. I don't think anybody saw that kind of money coming.
What about the number of years? And I realize you get to a number because of years, but were you taken aback a bit by the number of years that guys were getting, especially based on how other contracts in the past have gone, like Cano and Pujols and people like that?
I was. The only thing that makes sense of the those numbers is that you can lower the annual average value. I think the Phillies kind of started that with Bryce Harper, thinking, you know what, we'll give him a huge contract to lower that thing down to $23, $24 million a year. And so if you ever have to struggle with a luxury tax, then it's not, you know, not a big deal. So I think that's why those teams are doing more than anything else. I don't think they think that, you know, guys like Craig Turner and, you know, Correa, once he signs, you know, will still be that good at that age.
What is the situation with Correa? I mean, obviously the Giants thing fell through. Now the Mets, sounds like they're working it out. What is his situation?
Well, it's just he's got a plate in that right ankle area from an injury back in 2014. Obviously that hasn't, you know, hampered him. He's had, you know, more back problems than anything else. But it's just, you know, a red flag for Giants and, you know, everybody's saying, well, the Giants got cold feet. No, it's just they didn't like that medical report. You know, the same thing with the Mets. So right now, Correa's trying to say, hey, you said we had a deal. You know, even the owner, Steve Cohen, said he liked the deal. So, but the Mets are trying to protect themselves, I'm sure. Right now, it's in the hands of lawyers, and including with MLB and the Player Association. saying, okay, if he misses some substantial time with that injury, we get to lower that contract or make it shorter in terms of years.
Trevor Bauer's situation and how that played out. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I'm surprised the Dodgers haven't released him yet. I mean, Dodgers, you know, plan to release him. One thing I can figure it out is maybe they're trying to do some kind of settlement, save themselves a little money, by releasing him. But there's no way in the world, they're going to have a pitch for him. I'm not sure anyone will. I think he's getting out of baseball this year. We'll see what happens in the future.
But the Dodgers still have to pay him $32 million, is that correct?
Well, yeah, it's actually $23.5 million,
okay,
because he got docked 50 games of pay this year. So, in all, I think the penalty or suspension is going to cost Bauer about $36.5
million,
okay, over the $102 million contract.
Okay, what about Brian Reynolds now? He's the one chip that the Pirates really have in the game that they seem to be willing to use at this point. Who are the suitors, and what's the most logical fit?
Well, a lot of teams have inquired about him, even before he asked for a trade. But the asking price is very high, as it should be. Particularly when you see some of these salaries getting thrown around, and he wants part of that too. So, I would think, the Dodgers, comes to mind the most, just because they have so many prospects, so many pitching prospects. They have an Eden center field now with Bellinger gone. So I would think that team would be front and center, but, we'll see. I mean, the Dodgers aren't fond of throwing around a lot of prospects either. They like to hang on to them. But if I think he goes, it would go there. But, I think it'll be a while. I still think he starts at least spring training in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Oh, interesting. All right. I had to ask you about the Red Sox. We know John Henry obviously has money. You don't own Liverpool, the Penguins, and then probably put yourself in the running to get the Vegas expansion team in the NBA unless you have tons of money. And we know that John Henry is freely spent over the years. How much is this with the Red Sox ownership saying, hey, we got to be below the luxury tax? And how much is this the philosophy of Chaim Bloom as a general manager?
I think it's ownership. I think that's when the falling outs that he had with Dave Dombrowski and say, hey, what are we doing here? And, they're not, several owners had predicted, before they let Bogarts go that, hey, they just don't want to spend money. Obviously, they did. They tell Chaim Bloom, hey, you're going to get this free agent no matter what the cost is. And that's not happening. So I don't blame Chaim Bloom. I just think he's taking orders, from what the owners are saying and saying, let's build from within. Let's try to do it more like the Tampa Bay way, which is you contend every year in a small budget.
In the end, Aaron Judge signed the big contract with the Yankees. What were your thoughts just on the process and how that played out?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought he was leaving. I know a lot of people say, well, you got booed at the end. He didn't like that. He didn't. But, what it came down to, even talking Yankee officials, was, okay, do you want to spend the rest of your career as a captain of the Yankees? Or do you want to go to the Bay Area and forgot about? And, the Giants did, win three World Series. There are some stars there. But as the Yankee people point out to me, you take a look at a guy like a Buster Posey, a fabulous catcher, on three World Series teams, but yet if he was playing in New York or somewhere else, he would have been a bigger star. Just everything, the Yankees, just everything about the Yankees brand is like you're remembered about, being a Yankee. You're not being remembered about being somewhere else.
Bob, the Padres, of course, you mentioned Bogarts going there. They have freely spent money in recent years. And in fact, they're still paying Eric Hosmer. They still owe him $38, $39 million, some number like that. What has been, is it because of the Dodgers? What's been the impetus behind the spending spree in San Diego, the way they have spent it?
It's just a situation where Peter Seiler, who's a nephew of Peter O'Malley.
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? I want to leave my legacy. I want that World Series championship, no matter what the cost. I mean, they're losing money. They're losing big time money there. I mean, they draw well. They've got the fifth largest attendance, but you know, with a small, small to medium TV contractors, you know, there's nowhere to go. I mean, you got the, LA to the north, Mexico to the south, Pacific Ocean to your west, and the desert to the east. You know, not like you can grow that market size. It's only what, the 27th largest market. So yeah, they're losing money, but they don't care.
Speaking of not losing money, Scott Boras, what his contract's total? What, almost $1.2 billion?
Yeah. So you're talking about, you get about 5% of that, yeah, of that profit there. And so, yeah, you're making out quite well, talking, $50, $60 million, just like that. So, yeah, I mean, say, this year, of all the free agents, he happened to have so many of the prize guys. That usually doesn't happen like that, where one agent has, 80% of the top guys. Now, next year's free agent class is very weak. This year's different. I think maybe too, that's why teams spent like they did, just because we're not going to have a free agent class like this in several years.
I realize he has the client base to do this, so I understand that part. But what does make him an effective negotiator?
The big thing for him now is he goes to the owners. Goes right over the GM's heads and said, I'm done with the ownership. And he kind of persuades those owners of saying, hey, we think this is a good investment for you. Let's talk. So when you look at it, he's got obviously a very good relationship now with Steve Cohen, great relationship with John Milton of the Phillies, Peter Seiler of the Padres, and now Ray Davis of the Texas Rangers. So a lot of times he's doing those deals. I mean, even the Korea deal, which isn't final, of course, yet, that was done strictly between, Steve Cohen and Boras.
We know coming up for the 23 season, limits on defensive shifts, pitch time, or bigger bases. What do you think of those rule changes, and is there one that is better than the others in your opinion?
Well, I think just the pitch clock is going to change the game in a sense where, speed up action. Everybody watches the games in minor leagues, love it. Executives, players said it really quickens the pace. If it's a great game, it doesn't matter if it's 4 hours, but you don't want to see 4 hours of no action. And so, and we'll see too with the pickoff limits, if it gets maybe emphasize more speed into the game. The shifts are interesting. People say, it costs these guys, 30 hits, 40 hits, 20 hits, whatever. But in the minor league data so far, it shows that the shifts didn't mean anything in terms of offense. How many times you watch a game and they routine ball to second base or shortstop and nobody's playing there? So I will be interested, though, to see how many teams, smart teams, will say, I'm going to stick an extra outfielder there. He can do what he wants. So you do a shift, but you only have two outfielders. So I think we'll definitely see that by somebody.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. Bob, as always, it's great to talk with you. Happy New Year, and can't wait to talk about the 23 season when it rolls around.
Look forward to it. Happy New Year to you, Steve.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. All right, we'll update Lane Johnson's situation in a moment. As we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
It's just another New Year's Eve, another night like all the rest. It's just another New Year's Eve, let's make it the best.
Barry Manilow?
Well, I know you're not going to celebrate New Year's Eve because you're going to be asleep by the time the new year rolls around.
That's one thing about when you're in California for this. Like, you can watch the ball drop in Times Square.
All right, that's a great point.
At 9 o'clock, and you're like, okay, I'm good.
I always thought I wanted to live in Hawaii for many reasons, but for the main reason, you get up at about 9 o'clock and the East Coast games and the NFL start. Then,
you know, by about noon, the West Coast games are starting. And Sunday night football is over, and you still have time to enjoy Sunday yet.
Well, you know what? Everybody will tell you that lives in the Central time zone, they love it in terms of, like, watching sports.
Oh, I had family that lived there. They agreed.
They love it. Like, in other words, Monday Night Football, 7:15. Great. Like last night's game, they still would have been late, but a 9:15 start. They always loved that. It felt like it was the perfect time.
The only complaint right. that my cousin had was she couldn't watch any of the Penn State games because she's a Penn State alum. She couldn't watch any of those because they were all regional at the time.
Right.
Of course, now she's in Panama. Now she can't watch them anyway, but that's a different story.
Well, let's update Lane Johnson. He's going to delay surgery on his torn tendon in his abdominal area. And the entire reason is because he thinks it's his best chance to play in the postseason. They consulted with multiple experts. He's in pain, Nick Sirianni said. He's going to do whatever he needs to do to get himself ready to play, and that's for his teammates. Speaks for his toughness and his desire to connect and how much his teammates mean to him. Also, how much the fans mean to him, too. You can't leave the fans out. He's not going to play the last two games against the Saints or the Giants for obvious reasons. This goes back to the point Mike and Nori called, and I'm quite sure Mike, we were talking about mostly about Gardner Minshew and so forth, and I mentioned attrition, and Mike kind of bypassed it, and this is what I'm talking about, Mike, about the attrition rate with a 17-game season. It's just amazing. I remember when they talked about going from 16 to 18, and I was gung-ho for it. I'm like, this is great. Oh, more games, the better. Then I started reading the comments of the players, and I thought, oh, what are you complaining about? But then I said, you know what? Wait a minute. Reread the comments of the players. And it took some time to reread what they said. I'm like, okay. And then I started watching. This is now, remember, they talked about this 18-game thing a few years ago. I started watching games in December and all the guys that were out. And it is almost impossible for you to play a schedule with the same team that you have in training camp. And now look at the Eagles, for example. And this is where the attrition rate comes in. And it's not like you're sitting there with 80 guys on the roster. You got 45 or 46. Right, there's no other Lane Johnson on the roster. There's good players, but not Lane Johnson. So right now, no Hurts, no Lane Johnson, no Gardner Johnson. There's a couple of others along the way that are just banged up because of the attrition of the season. And that's the problem with more games in a year. And the way they do it with, you know, Thursday nights followed, you know, after Sunday games. It's more difficult than ever to get through a season unscathed with the same team that you had when you started the season. It's just really hard. And the Eagles have been playing terrific, but let's face it, they have not been the sharpest in three of the last four games. Against the Giants, they were ultra sharp. But the Titans game, they're okay. The Bears game, they're okay. The Cowboys game, they didn't win. And part of this is that they've been hit with the attrition rate of having a couple of key guys go down. Now, they aren't season-ending, which is great, but it does make it more difficult to stay consistent and win.